Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And who is stepping forward to take the penalty? This is the moment that he'll treasure for the rest of his days, I'm sure. But who's stepping up to assume the task? David O'Leary of Arsenal. In his 52nd international appearance, David O'Leary is entrusted with the responsibility of taking the penalty that could send Ireland into the quarterfinals of the World Cup. This kick can decide it all. The nation holds its breath. Yes, we're there! Ireland are through to the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of In Lockdown, brought to you by Lavazza. This week is a bonus episode, as we speak to David O'Leary all about his famous penalty for Ireland at the 1990 World Cup. We spoke to our all-time record appearance maker about his Gunners career last week, and that show's still available, of course, if you'd like to go back and listen now. But for this episode, we began by taking David back to 1976 and making his international debut at Wembley. Talking a bit about Ireland, because obviously that's a huge part of your career as well. And we talk about starting as a teenager. You did that for Republic of Ireland as well, didn't you? Your debut in 76.
I got so lucky that, you know, we dream and grow up and see the FA Cup final at Wembley. And I was lucky to take part in so many times with the club. But to tell us, you know, the other ambition you'd always have is to play for your country international wise and to have you make your debut at Wembley. I'd never been to Wembley, never played at Wembley. And to make your debut there I was ticking the box of a few great things that night, if you know what I mean. And it was fabulous. And funny, it was strange that my first year, you know, at the club, I growing up there, was Charlie George. And he left and I was making my debut against him. He was playing for England. So that was a strange one in a roundabout way. But it was a great night. It was a night of, I was coming up that tunnel and got out onto Wembley, looked at it, and it lived up to everything I dreamed as a kid and watched on TV, never thinking you'd ever get a chance to play there. And here's me at such a young age, making your debut for Ireland and playing at Wembley. It was a great, memorable night for me. I was in awe. We went training the day before at the stadium, and I walked out. And I thought, I'm actually going to be playing on this pitch, something that I looked at as a kid and dreamed about. I'm actually on it. And Wembley lived up to everything I dreamed about.
So was it a big step up from what you were used to in Division One football, or did you feel playing for Arsenal had prepared you for your international debut?
I'd have to say what you just said there. I think Arsenal playing in front of the big crowds, playing in front of the expectation, even though I was so young, it had prepared me greatly to cope with that night, without a doubt.
And then obviously you stayed in the team and built your way up. You missed out on Euro 88, but you came back for the 1990 World Cup in Italy, which of course...
Look, I fell out with Jack. It probably cost me... That was through Arsenal in a roundabout way of pulling out of a match because we had a cup final about 10 days later. Jack got the needle about it and kind of banned me for about 3 years. But probably in that 3 years, probably played some of the best football of my life at Arsenal. In a roundabout way, I think George Graham, the club, were quite delighted I wasn't getting picked because, you know, they never said it. But I look back and I know now thinking it suited them down to the ground. One of their top players not having to go away keeps him safe here. I thought that was my day because apart from pulling out of a squad and he didn't like it, Jack, I don't think I was Jack's type of player anyway. Jack was about centre halves, kick the ball high and as far up the field as possible. And I was one of these fancy Dan centre halves. And, you know, that Jack had a certain way of playing. And I think it suited Jack not having me in the team anyway, that Mick McCarthy, Kevin Moran, they were his type of players. That's the way he wanted to play. But I got back in, and I got back in on the most, couldn't believe it night. We played at Newcastle. We'd come back on the Saturday evening. I'm in my house in North London. And as you say, I've been about 3 years out of the team. The following Wednesday, Ireland are playing Spain in Seville. And that Saturday night after, I think we'd had a good win at Newcastle, I got a call about 10 o'clock at night to say, could you join up with the Irish squad the following evening? I couldn't believe it. I just thought somebody was winding me up. It was the secretary of the FAI of Ireland, and who I knew. I don't think he could believe me ringing me on behalf of Jack Charlton to say it. I rang a man called Tony Donnelly up the following morning, who was the kit manager at Arsenal for many years, and said, you won't believe this, but I've been picked for Ireland back again. He couldn't believe it. I went in and got my boots and made my way up to Manchester that evening. And on the Wednesday, I played against Spain in Seville. And that was me back in again. And it ended up then, as you say, taking that penalty, which, honestly, I have to tell you, thank God I did score, because I'm reminded that much. I'm sent over that many drinks, coffees. I've won that many various things in Ireland for it. I just look back now and think, thank God I did score, because it'd been the JFK moment of remembered he's the fella that missed the penalty and messed Ireland up, really.
Gareth Southgate's never been allowed to forget it, has he, for England?
No, and as I say, I look back and think now, because I go around the world, there's Irish people everywhere. I was at so-and-so place, I was this and that, and that's what's happened to me continuously since that day.
I mean, that, and as well, it came in the only game you played in that World Cup. So you were on the bench for the group stages, and then you went through ahead of Holland by drawing lots. So, I mean, how did that?
It was just the most weirdest qualifying thing ever. But we ended up in the next phase, and you know, I don't think we hardly scored any goals, or could, you know, it was just unbelievable how it ended up. But we ended up there. The game was a very good Romanian side. It was a very intense game in Genoa, in a very similar stadium to the old Emirates, to the old Highbury, that way enclosed. So very people on top of each other. And it was a kind of the penalties you were taking in the North Bank end. And all the Irish supporters were down there. And Jack kind of said to us, leave it to you who wants to take the penalties. Good luck. And he cleared off. And I went round and asked everybody who wanted to take what penalty. And I could have easily been taking the first one as the fifth one. But everybody chose from one to four. And the last one that was left was the fifth one. And that's it didn't bother me. And that's the one how I ended up taking the fifth penalty.
You're quick to put your hand up to take one, or were you persuaded into it?
No, I always quite fancy taking a penalty. But I always played with great players at Arsenal who, wanted to take penalties, took penalties. And it's very hard for the centre-half to put his hand up when they think, well, centre-half's taking penalties. So I always kind of kept quiet in that. I always fancied taking a penalty in the Cup Winners' Cup final in Brussels. But again, there were so many forwards and midfield players who wanted the ball. I fancied that night, but I was too scared to put my hand up, thinking all the, you know, these skillful players ahead of me that wanted to take them and send a half take them. They'd look at you thinking, are you mad or something that way? So, but I walked down that day. All those fans behind the goal were all still. Got the ball off the referee. I decided on the way down I was going to hit it to the goalkeeper's left-hand side and placed it on the spot. Place was so still. Ran up. Goalkeeper dives the wrong way. Ball hits the net. Absolute explosion of green behind the goal. And place goes mad and kind of a JFK moment, really.
Absolutely. But just before that, Bonner had obviously saved that all the penalties had been scored.
Yeah.
Paki Bonner then makes his save. I was watching the footage. The players start celebrating when he makes his save. You still got to take your penalty.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that. It was the confidence in me. I don't know on that one.
Were you standing thinking, hang on, I've still got a score here?
Well, do you know what? You said that. My mum tells me, my dad got down on his knees when he seen me walk up, started praying in the front room of the house in Dublin. My wife, who we're in North London, Joyce stepped out into the back garden. My son ran out then and told her I'd scored and she couldn't believe it. Went back in to see this being on the reel that way. I walked down that day and people said, what was I thinking? Because it wasn't far from the halfway line down to the penalty box, but it seemed to take ages. I kept saying to myself, don't mess this up. You know, as you said there, the goalkeeper had saved to give us the chance. The lads, the four lads beforehand had set it up. And I'm thinking to myself, you mightn't get this chance again because if you miss and it comes back to, you know, sudden death, it could be their opportunity to go through by one of their fellas having it. So this could be the opportunity. Don't mess this up for everybody else. So I had that in my head. Don't mess it up. And I said to myself then before I got to the ball, it's going to the goalkeeper's left-hand side. I'm not really going to look at him. As I say, there was Irish fans for about 3-4 hours behind that goal going nuts over the last 3 or 4. They were as still as anything. And then, as I say, when the ball hits the net, it was this green explosion again. It was amazing.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Had you ever practiced penalties? Because I think that was the first ever penalty shootout for Ireland.
Do you know what? We were practicing because we were about 7 weeks together from starting in Ireland, going to play games in Turkey, going to Malta. We would be 7 weeks away, and it was 7 weeks of you'd finish training maybe at 12:30, 12 o'clock, get on a coach, back to your room for a shower, lunch, back up and rest. And we were trying to prolong getting on the team coach to go back to the hotel because we knew it all afternoon and evening. And Niall Quinn used to get into goal with goalkeeper gloves on. He quite fancied it. And it was this thing of 10 quid if you score 3 penalties. He was running a book all through the tournament. And when we'd get back when we'd get back on the coach, he'd come round and say, you're up so-and-so amount, you're down from the penalties you missed. If you missed the first one out of three, then that's your 10 are gone, you know, out of the queue. And I was running up a great credit off Quinny, and probably those lads were taking those penalties, had a good credit with Quinny. So that was the practice that we were getting. Not on the practice of this was going to be for this. We were taking a load of the penalties on a fun thing for many days and many weeks, well before the tournament started and through the tournament. And whether that stood us in good stead, I don't think so, because if I have to say to you, for all the things you can do in practice, it doesn't replicate that day walking up, what's in your head, the atmosphere you feel in the ground, the tension of the moment, if you know what I mean. It gives you nothing of that to put yourself in that way. I always think you should have a general who's going to take penalties, but it's when it finishes at the end of extra time, who is in the mode or in the zone that is up for taking one, who's confident and fancies doing it at that moment.
And what did Jack Charlton say to you afterwards in the dressing room?
Do you know what? He came over to me. He kind of didn't look at me half and half. He put his hand out and said to me, as he started to move away, I knew you wouldn't miss. And he walked off. That's what he exactly said.
He had faith in you.
That's what he said. That's what he said. But his kind of attitude was, Jack, I'll leave it to you, boys. You know what you're doing. You sort it out.
Was that unusual? Was that unusual for a manager to do that?
That was kind of Jack's way. You know, Jack could have a team talk of saying, like, remember, say you'd play Italy or something else, or you'd play Germany, and, well, you know, Baresi and Maldini, that tippy-tappy players, you know, that would mean, and you'd pass around, the, you know, or fans back about, you know how his team's going to play, very tippy-tappy, you know. That was Jack's played it very low-key always.
So just to finish off, David, I really appreciate your time today, but we've just spoken about, you know, a long and illustrious career. And yet when people think of you for Ireland, they'll think of you for one kick. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, that you can distill one moment.
Again, as you say, I look back now over the years of the memory. If I'd have missed that, for all what you've done, because I can give you an examples of, say, my dad, who sadly I miss and is gone now, the person who was looked after him, the surgeon in Ireland for so many years, he couldn't believe when I turned up with my dad, and my dad told him, I was in the Mayo Clinic in America at the time, and I stopped operating to watch you score a penalty. You know, probably the most embarrassing thing was, I was in Dublin about 3 or 4 years ago with friends, and we were having a nice pint of Guinness in one of these lovely pubs there, and this lad jumped out in front of me and said, and stopped the whole bar, David O'Leary. And everybody stopped still and thought, Jesus, what's happened here? And he went, I was conceived after your penalty. I want to buy you a drink. And that way, that's the, you know, most embarrassing one. But like, I was in Hong Kong there a while back, and we're sitting at a table with my wife, and we're drinking a bottle of wine, and the sommelier came across and said, the couple over there from Ireland, they're out here working. They were senior penalty. Could they send you? We joined them for a lovely evening in the end for a few drinks. The BBC, like RTE in Ireland, ran a thing there a few year back of sporting memories of you know, over the last 50 years, say. And they ran it in certain. I got into the, on the night then, it was, say, Padraig Harrington won 3 majors. It was great rugby players, all the greats of Ireland over the time. And I kind of said to them, I don't think I could make it. And they said, you've got to come along. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, going by the viewing figures, like, there was millions voting on this thing in Ireland. You've walked it. I said, me? I said, yeah. He said, because it was one of these defining moments that people who are married, women who have no interest in football, were made watch this because of they were going out or married their husbands at the time, and they watched this and they remember it. and they're all ringing in and voting for you. And
Everyone remembers it.
Yeah. And I apologized to Padraig Harrington afterwards, who's a lovely fellow and his wife. I said, look, Padraig, I know mine took seconds and you won three majors. I'm sorry for this. And he started laughing, you know, about it. So that's how much it's in, you know, the Irish culture over there. And as you said, for all that you think I might have done something over my career, that's the thing I've remembered about, because as I say, that's, I'm tapped on the shoulder, somebody remind me where they were. So many things like that happened to me still now up to this day.
And just the last question, David, we've gone through your career. You played more times for Arsenal than anyone else. You won league titles, you won FA Cups, you scored the most famous goal in your country's history. Is there anything that you didn't achieve that you really wanted to? It seems like you set yourself out to get to target.
I'd have probably loved to win a Champions League final with Arsenal, without a doubt.
Yeah, the European. I mean, I guess we missed out through some of that time with the European ban, and only had that one stab at it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at a night in Paris when Barcelona beat us, and you think to yourself, you'd love to play in something like that, an occasion in a big city, and win the ultimate prize. You know, that would have been fantastic to be able to do.
But overall, you can't have too many complaints.
If you say to me, you know, I don't know whether I bore you a funny story of, I got on the train there a few years back at York Station to come down to the Emirates, and I got on and sat down and seen a few people looking, kind of pointing, well, that's so and so, like, you know, that way. And I was reading the book, but we pulled into Finsbury Park on the way down, and then we start going slow, and we stop right underneath where my picture is around the stadium, if you know what I mean, there.
Oh yes, it faces the train tracks.
Facing the tracks, and I see them all start pointing and going, that's him, you know, that's him there. And I'm waiting for the train to pull out, and I'm thinking, come on, train, pull out. And the guard comes on, and he starts saying, the platform we were going into is a train stuck there. And I'm stuck there for about 10 minutes and feeling so embarrassed. And everybody's pointing and looking at this idiot that's sitting down, that's stuck there, that's him there. But if somebody had said to me, a lad from Dublin coming over, and he'd have ended up with some greats at the Arsenal's new brand spanking stadium, and somebody thought that you merited going up there, and I kind of feel proud that I've come over and people think you've done something, and that's proven it by being there, which, you know, I probably am probably very privileged and very grateful that that you've been able to play some sort of part in Arsenal's history, really.
Well, it's been richly deserved, David. Thanks so much for your time today. I really enjoyed it. As I say, we could go on forever. There's so many highlights in your career, but I really appreciate your time.
No trouble. It's a pleasure. Thanks for asking me. I know it's an early one, but happy Christmas and have a good one and enjoy yourself. And as I say, thanks for your time today as well.
Our thanks again to David for those incredible memories. But this is our last show of the series. A huge thank you to all of our guests throughout the last few months. All of our interviews from this series and, of course, Series 1 are still available on the archive. So if you want to go back and listen to our interviews with Dennis Bergkamp, Jack Wilshere, Bakary Sanya or Nicholas Bentler, for example, head to your usual podcast provider. Thanks again to our partners at Lavazza. Remember, if you're in the UK, you can purchase your favourite coffee at lavazza.co.uk. So that's it for this week and the series. Thanks for listening.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.